Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the Product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and tonight is Self-Expressions Sports Edition. Yes, once again, we are the Sports Edition of Self-Expressions, and without further ado, like I said, I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. And tonight I have a special co-host, my granddaughter, Aurelia. Aurelia, would I say hi to everybody?
Hi.
All right, that's my granddaughter, Aurelia, and she's going to be with me tonight. And tonight's show is going to be dedicated to my great aunt, Frances Best. She passed away this morning. God has called her home. And so I'm going to dedicate tonight's show to my great aunt, Frances Best. And, you know, as you know, as life goes, you know, life goes on, but you know, we do miss those that you know pass on and that God calls home. And tonight's show, I'm going to just real briefly go over our topic, and then we're just going to get into our show. Our topic tonight is going against the grain. You know, and going against the grain is mainly against, you know, our athletes that have, you know. One thing that we don't understand that, you know, as athletes have a calling, you know, and mainly when they have that calling, you know, just like a lot of people that have been, you know, are in the Bible, specifically Noah, you know, they have their calling. God has called on them to do a specific task, just like each and every one of us. You know, we all like to, you know, when we have, you know, athletes, we figure these are these million-dollar athletes that have no kind of quality or no kind of impact on life. But have you ever considered the fact that, you know, just because, you know, an athlete can swing a bat or bounce a basketball, and at some point in your life, that they do have an effect on you spiritually at some point. They do have a hold of you, not a hold of you as far as spiritually to a point, but as far as a point where their God-given talent is there. And we all know this because after an athlete has accomplished a certain task or they are considered for their whole body of work as far as a Hall of Fame type thing. A lot of people say when they say, I like to thank God, my Lord and Savior, or they just say, I would like to thank God for being here. Well, just for one instance, would you ever consider that when you are judged on or you're, you know, or at one point you look at your whole body of work or something you do, whether it's sweeping a broom, whether it's administrating an office, or just doing your everyday daily tasks that you get paid for, even though you get paid maybe on a minuscule level of what these athletes have done, you know, have you ever sat down and did you ever think, or would you even in front of coworkers say that, I like to thank God, you know, my Lord and Savior for presenting me in this opportunity. You know, when athletes say that and when they present that, it is that, you know, they realize that at some point in their life that God has set aside and let them know that this is your God-given talent that I have appointed for you to do or for you to enact on. But do you ever consider at any point in time when you're doing something, whether it's skillful or anything that you think that it is something that has naturally been given to you, by God or a talent that you're just really great at. And whether it's during retirement, during this time, or whether it's employee of the month, have you ever considered saying, you know, exactly where, and one of the things where talent comes in, or whether it is something that we've naturally learned to actually incorporate in our life, have we ever considered and say, I just like to thank God for this, because I don't know where this came from. I was, only thing I did was I honed on this through a spiritual, or wasn't even a spiritual, but it was a notion that let me just concentrate on it. As far as someone being an artist, you know, or things of that nature. And let me just, you know, real quickly go back to, you know, scripture. And that's Psalms 127, verse 1. You know, whether you're, whether we're talking about the basis of where is that unnatural, or I mean that natural leadership, that natural quality, you know, these are basically the fundamental builders that the Heavenly Father has placed into us. And, you know, and it goes all the way back to Genesis 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created development, established, and built heaven and earth. You know, God is the master creator. He's the master craftsman, the master builder. He built the universe out of nothing. And, you know, when he builds something out of nothing, you know, and you feel as though that you have, you know, a skill that came from nothing or out of nowhere, it's the same thing. And, you know, real briefly, let me just let everybody know, like, this is the 1014th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight, whether you're joining us online or via phone. And if you are a T-Mobile or Metro customer, you can call in at 323-870-4174. And everybody else can call in at 319-527-6091. And you can press the number 1. And you had a question, Aurelia? I'm going to talk to my co-host real quick. Hey, Aurelia, you had a question?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, cool. So, just getting back on topic, you know, and tonight's topic is going against the grain. You know, a lot of times we have, you know, this notion that we want to feel as though we want to be part of the crew, or we want to be, you know, we want to be popular, or we just want to be part of the norm. And, you know, one of the things that Noah was doing was Noah wanted to, you know, basically he wanted to make sure that he was out there. He wanted to preserve his family. But we had that whole thing where there's the general consensus that Noah was crazy, he was out of his mind. You know, we have that, we go through that same sort of thing as far as when, you know, we have that God-given, you know, eureka, or that God-given thought that, hey, listen, this is something you need to enact on. This is something I need you to do. And it's not always talent wise. It's always something that where, you know, he has created you to be at a specific place at a specific time when he needs you to be. And this all goes back way back to, you know, maybe 50s, 40s, and 60s, where we always find these unique athletes that come out of nowhere, and you always wonder, you know, we're given that notion. Like, we can go to Maurice Johnson in the Olympics when, you know, as equality in the United States was failing the black population very greatly. And, you know, the men's relay team, they won the gold medal. And when they were presented with the medals and they were presented and wrapped around the American flag, they all stood on the podium and they raised a black fist. And everybody wondered, why would these guys do this? This is the most important time when the medal presentation was being presented. And you're saying, like, at the most pinnacle time in their moment in their careers, they chose to show some sort of defiance. But what their defiance was it was something that unified the country and let them know that at our finest moment, that these athletes decided to raise their fists and let them know that, hey, listen, we represent the United States, and yes, we're fighting the oppression of other countries, but yet in the same sense that we have our own strife that we have not conquered yet. So right then and there, you know, at a moment when it was a time whether you would just sit there and smile, but yes, they went against the grain. They went against the grain at such a great magnitude where you would want to know why would they do such a thing. They've done such a thing is because this is the time for them to go ahead and go against the grain, to shine and let them know that no matter how much talent they have, that at the end, equality for all was much, much more a greater stage for them to showcase. And that's what it is, you know, when you're an athlete and that you have, you know, the ability, and they say, well, you're just an athlete, you're there. Well, it's the same thing with James Brown and other entertainers. When they had any time, you would say, well, they're supposed to sing and they're supposed to dance. Why don't they just shut up and do that? But no. It's the best time to do it. The best time to do it is when God is showcasing your natural God-given ability and talent to go ahead. And it's the same thing. Like I said, it is no different from when Noah built his ark. It was out there displayed to let everybody know that this is the notion and this is what God had given me. This is the very thing that God has placed in my heart and mind. Whereas though I'm going to build this ark, and everybody was saying, this guy is crazy, he's insane. Even up to the time when he was just gathering animals, getting them ready to place them in the ark and let them know that this is what I'm going to make sure I preserve. It's the notion of God. It wasn't just him. It was God's notion that placed in Noah's heart and said, hey, listen, I'm going to destroy everything. And he said to Noah, this is not just my notion of placing in your heart that I'm going to destroy everything. This is something I went back and I've told Moses. You know, and I've told Moses that I will destroy everything. And I mean it. So if you don't act on this, you know, you're going to be part of the destruction too. And most of all, your family. So when, you know, this notion, and he knew that he was talking to God, Noah knew. And there's a lot of times when we have, you know, a lot of thought, and we don't have that connection to God right away. But when God speaks to us and he places something in our heart, we know. We do and we act. It is just a natural instinct that we have, and that's because of that natural bond that our forefathers had with God. Because God has promised us that he's not going to allow us to lead on to a path of destruction and damnation. And, you know, once we have that restore that natural bond in some kind of way, and, you know, everybody has their own way and their own sayings of how, if it's, you know, if it's God's way, it's God's will. But no, if it's in our heart and in our minds, it's God's will and it's God's way. You know, we can't for any way think that we can wake up without praising him, without giving him thanks, that, you know, things are going to happen the way, he, you know, he things going to happen the way he wants them, but things are going to happen how he wants them with him in our hearts. You know, we can't just think for, you know, 1 minute that without any kind of connection to him that things won't get accomplished. He is the great eye opener. He is the great I am. And once you have that I am spirit in you, and especially when it comes to sports and everybody, you know, wants to know why is, you know, these athletes are speaking out. Why are they saying things when they get awards, or why are they saying, you know, I got to thank the man above. They're doing that is because they knew through no matter what they were doing that they've asked God to help them accomplish something. Whether it's something that you care about or something, you know, everyone cares about, or maybe no one cares. This is the bond they established. Same thing with Noah. Noah was constantly asking God, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? God, is this is what, you know, you want me to build this ark? You want me to gather these animals? And God just simply said, hey, do you love me? Do you really hear my voice? And, you know, Noah said at some point, yes, I do. And at that point, that's when Noah started making sure that his actions was something that he knew that was in his heart, that he spoke to God. He knew that God wanted him to do what he was doing. And we can go back into, you know, to the modern days right now, where we go to the athletes right now, going against the grain. There are a lot of athletes right now that are going against the grain. And he's like, well, what do you mean they're going against the grain there? They get paid to do what they want to. But yes, also with, you know, that attitude of getting paid to do what, you know, the team wants them to do, you know, it comes along with money. It comes along with a different attitude. It comes along with, you know, with that money, you have a new group of a new crop of influence. And with that influence that you have there, you know, you have a responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And that's where you act on, you know, your ability to influence the masses. And like I said, once these athletes have a chance to let them know that going against the grain, you know, ultimately, you know, in life, you reap what you sow. If you reap nothing, you gain nothing. If you reap, you know, honing your skill, honing, or just mastering a craft that you're doing, you're reaping and eventually you're sowing. You gain the benefits. Just like a farmer. You know, a farmer is going to always be there cultivating his field. And you know why? Because ultimately at the end, he wants to make sure that the crops that he's sowing will benefit him and his family in the future. And he's doing that because at the end, once the crops, it's time for him to go ahead and reap the benefits of the crops he's planted. He's not only wishing to benefit from his family, what's ever left over, his family can profit from. They can, you know, they can share the wealth among each other, and they can also, you know, with that, you know, that reaping and sowing part, they're able to, you know, benefit from that. And that's one of the things, like I say, no matter what field we go in, no matter what, you know, a lot of people are late bloomers, and we have to understand that, you know, being late bloomers is something that it takes time as far as cultivating our mind into our craft when we craft ourselves. Noah wasn't a young man when he built the ark. You know, let's not forget Noah was by no chance, a young man. You know, he was a man that was, you know, already established and doing what he was doing. And then, you know, God had placed in the notion that, hey, listen, you need to build this ark. You need to build it at this time, you know, you got to make sure that you're not behind schedule. You have to make sure that you do this, do that. and everything wasn't dropped in his ear at one time. Everything, when it was placed in Noah's heart and mind, by God, you know, it was done where he can fully adapt it and he can incorporate it. And, you know, unfortunately, those around him, or, you know, the people around him, they thought he was nuts when he started doing things. And he was telling them very subtly just how God had told him. And that's what happens. You know, God is not going to just throw a whole big master plan where we can't understand it or comprehend or even enact or make movements where we can be effective. You know, God is going to put it on a level that we can understand and how we can move forward. And, you know, once again, this is Self-Expressions. This is the sports edition. And I am glad to broadcast here to everyone that's listening, whether you're joining us online or via phone. We thank you for calling in or listening online. And if you want to call in, phone number calling is 319-527-6091. And if you're a T-Mobile or Metro customer, you can call in at 323-870-4174. And at any time, calling any number, you can press the number 1 to talk to me and join the conversation. And, you know, real quickly, we just wanted to let everyone know that if you're a T-Mobile mobile customer, just don't feel like that you're different. They just want to make sure that you're calling in and making sure that if you get a message that says you're being charged 1 cent a minute, we just want to alleviate that worry. So that way you can call in at 323-870-4174. Same number that we have. And we just thank you so much, no matter what mobile carrier that you're listening to, or if you're calling in on a landline, we just thank you so much for just supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And getting back to our show.
Yes.
And our show is Going Against the Grain. And Going Against the Grain, I'm just basically talking about athletes in Pacific and actually how they present their body of work and how they're perceived by the public. And yes, they do proclaim, you know, their faith, and everyone wants to know, well, why are they saying this now? You just won the Super Bowl. You just won the NBA championship, or you just won, you know, the MLB championship. And they say, where did this come from? This comes from how they practice their home in the beginning. This is not something they just sprout out at the end and say, oh, thank you, God, for, you know, allowing me to win this award. No, they're not saying that. They're saying, hey, God, I just can't believe that as me listening to you and honing my skills, that I will actually be on this very pinnacle of my career while I receive this pinnacle award. You know, this is, you know, something, like I said, that we can probably adapt in our everyday working life, whether you're a secretary, whether you're, you know, a mail carrier, and you receive something. And if you truly, like these athletes do, when, you know, they receive something, like I said, it could be employee of the month. It could be, you know, celebrating your fifth or your 10th or 20th year anniversary on a job. You know, really, as you know, when you are receiving something or you participant or a recipient of such an award, you know, how do we react in our everyday life? You know, are we going to just say, hey, I like to thank my Lord and Savior for winning this Employee of the Month award? Am I going to say, hey, after, you know, 5 years of anniversary, and you present me with a necklace or a watch, and you're going to say, hey, you know what, I think I've done a lot more, I should deserve a lot more. You know, I'd rather have the money. I don't want this watch. I don't want this trinket. I don't want this plaque. You know, how do we react? You know, we have to really ask ourselves, you know, are the athletes are really, you know, when they achieve something from their pinnacle, do they act or correspond to us in our everyday life? And they say, you know, we watch sports just to get away from reality. But the reality is if you have worked, you know, and you have achieved something at your pinnacle, and, you know, it seems like when we go home, we're not, you know, reacting the same way. You know, someone says, "Hey, I just won Employee of the Month." You know, one time I was actually, when I was actually, you know, I live in Philadelphia, PA, and we have SEPTA as far as transportation. And it may sound silly, but, you know, I seen in, you know, on the floor in the corner in one of the subway trains, it was Employee of the Month for McDonald's. And I was working in the warehouse. And when I was working in that warehouse, we didn't have any kind of awards for doing anything. You know, I guess they figured, you know, we pay you, you do the work, you know, there should be no kind of accolades or any kind of anything to prove that you stand out, even if you do something that's spectacular. But I just seen that, and I seen that plaque, and, you know, I turned it in to, you know, where the lost and found for SEPTA. And I, you know, mistakenly, you know, I gave my, you know, information as far as, you know, when I was turning something in. And that's what happens when you turn something into, like, when, you know, mass transit. Because a lot of things, you know, carry monetary value. And the funny thing about it was when I did that, and after some time, I guess they were checking out their lost and found, they contacted me, and they says, "Hey, you know, we have, you know, your name and a plaque here for you, and it's for Employee of the Month, and it's from McDonald's. I don't know, you know, they told me they don't know if that's your current employer." I was like, you know, it's kind of funny. I found that plaque, and they said, "Well, nobody claimed it," and I thought it was kind of sad. And if I recall, this was many years ago, it was somebody named Tony something. And I just said, you know, go ahead and, you know, send it to me. And, you know, that individual that didn't, you know, claim that plaque, you know, I just figured, you know, while I do have, you know, I had the plaque in my possession for a while, but every time I would look at it and, I would say, hey, you know, I was just saying, like, this is something that this individual didn't want it, but I can say, hey, listen, this is something that I'm choosing to share with that. I'll cherish that plaque because that plaque was something that I was never, you know, ever even entitled to or even had a chance to be, you know, represented to, you know, the company that I worked for at the time. And at the time, I went through a couple of jobs, and I still would look at it and say, hey, listen, you know, this individual, you know, unfortunately didn't, you know, look at this as an accomplishment. He looked at it as probably embarrassment or something because he was at a place where time that he wasn't at that time, you know, and I'm just guessing, like I said, I didn't know the individual, but we have to understand that even though we're not at a place or time where though, you know, we may accomplish some accolades, if we look at it, you know, and let me tell you something, God is the ultimate forgiver, and, you know, hopefully, you know, this individual some kind of way, you know, adapted the attitude that, you know, if I can perform at this level, at this place, I can perform at the same level at another place, you know. And I'm just going to go, since this is the sports edition of Self-Expressions, I'm going to go into baseball and let you know that baseball has what they call a farm system. Now, the farm system is designed, and this is just how spiritual level that is so similar to us. Now, the farm system is where they gather a lot of guys that just, you know, they're not sure if they're, you know, ready for the major leagues. So they just say, hey, this is where you can hone your skill. This is where you can practice. This is where we can actually get a very good look at you. And sometimes God places us in a farm system where he just want to make sure he gets a good look at us. And I'm not saying he's saying he's going to say that at any point you're not worthy, but he may want to know if you're able to go to the next level, you know, especially spiritually, because spiritually, you know, there are a lot of us that are just hanging in limbo where we're just sitting there and we're in the farm system and we're just saying, hey, you know what, I'll just need one big chance, but you're not taking that swing. You know, right there, when you're in that farm system, you know, you're saying, well, I'm not going against a major league pitcher, so how I'm going to know that if that that major league pitcher, you know, I face, just he's got none of the stuff that he's got. But sometimes we're not ready for major league stuff, or we're in the minor leagues and we're just sitting there and we're saying, hey, I'm ready for that 98-mile-per-hour fastball. But sometimes if you slow that fastball when you're facing 95 or 93 and you're able to hit it, and then next thing you know, you might got a guy that throws just a little bit faster than that. And when you take that swing, you're able to hit it. You know, sometimes this takes time. It takes, you know, us to experience some things. And as we start experiencing some things and it goes on a big level, that's when we're able to put things together. And that's why I say, as far as, you know, using a farm system as an example, sometimes we need to be in the, you know, the minor leagues before we get to the major leagues. You know, when we're in the minor leagues, you know, we get a chance to stop and examine and better fine-tune our skills. You know, don't forget, you know, some of the finer parts in our skills is actually through our fellow mankind is actually just fellowshipping. You know, sometimes we have to make sure that we tune out that critical ear where we're talking about, you know, somebody's suit or someone that has picked up weight, you know, and instead of saying, hey, you know, we need to encourage our brother, you know, to help him, you know, eat more healthily. You know, instead, you know, you're looking at him and you're saying, hey, you see that suit jacket? Man, I thought that button was going to pop out and take an eye. You know, please. You know, we can't have that attitude where, you know, we're not presenting, you know, a helpful and nurturing ear to everybody. I know everyone says, well, you know, men are men and men are going to be, but we need to scratch that. You know, we can have that nurturing ear also to other men. You know, we all have to know that we have to lead by example. We just can't just be the one there that's constantly being, you know, the pestilence of, you know, encouragement. We have to make sure that, you know, we have to encourage each other the right way. You know, we have to make sure that, you know, as far as when, you know, guys are there and they're saying, you know, they're not saying the encouraging word first, and they're saying the negative thing first. We have to make sure, you know, yes, we're men, and, you know, we can take things certain ways, but, you know, guess what? Women are not the only ones that are just, you know, supposed to be sitting there and lead by example by giving nurturing words. We also can give nurturing words. You know, we have to look at each other as if, you know, we're that coach. You know, and like I said, this is the sports, this is self-expression, so you're going to hear a lot of sports analogy. We got to make sure that we're that coach that's placing that player or that person in a position to do good. Because, you know, it's not only just that, you know, it's for us, it's for all of us. You know, we have to look at this as a team effort that we're a team building. You know, you want to assemble the best players in your corner. You don't want anybody that just, you know, you don't want any other body or a bench warmer. You want a starter in your corner. You want somebody that can actually, you can sit there and say, hey, you know, I need a breather. Can you step in for me, or can you help me? You know, we don't want, you know, we're only as good as our weakest link as far as, you know, being a team. And we're, you know, we're all a team. We all want to achieve basically the same thing. And, you know, we're getting close to the call of salvation. Before we do that, I just want to just, you know, go back, you know, pretty much back on what I was saying as far as how Noah is more like these everyday athletes. And Noah, you know, basically we're going to go to Genesis 6, and I'm just going to, you know, just paraphrase real quick. Noah built an ark, you know, to save his family. You know, ark is a place of safety and refuge. God is challenging us as leaders today to build, you know, where are we going, and making sure that whatever we're building, it's going to be based on part of being a shelter to protect and offer refuge to whoever will come in, you know, from basically the madness of the world. And that's what Noah was doing, and that's what basically he wanted to make sure that even though he was saving his family, he wanted to make sure he kept God's mandate. You know, he wanted to make sure that when that whole mandate was set into him, that not only he was looking after his family, he was looking after God's word also. Because don't forget, God said he was going to wipe the world out. He was done with it. He was done with that world. And you know, we have to make sure when God gives us a mandate, he's going to say what he's going to do. He's going to do it. And so we can't anger him also by being, you know, unfaithful in his word, and especially something he placed in our heart. You know, the everyday athlete that we have right now, this is something that what God was doing. God has placed them in his farm system until they were ready to go ahead and accomplish what he set them, you know, set them out to do, which is basically be an example or exclamation point on his creation. You know, Michael Jordan, you know, whether he knows it or not, and to some he's considered the greatest basketball player of all time. Just like him, in his time, Wilt Chamberlain was considered the greatest basketball player of all time. And you consider, you know, if you want to just consider for, you know, for a moment, you just want to say, well, how can these two guys, so seemingly are, you know, very unsimilar. Wilt Chamberlain was 7 foot. Michael Jordan was 6-something. Wilt Chamberlain towered over him. In Wilt Chamberlain's time, he captivated everyone, and everyone thought he was the greatest basketball player of his time. Michael Jordan did the same thing, except for his stature, as far as the height. And he's done similar things, and everyone thinks that Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. So what is the difference between the both of them? If you want to say, hey, who is the greatest basketball player of all time? If you say Wilt Chamberlain, you're right. If you say Michael Jordan, you're right. One of the things is that the time and the pinnacle of their career, when they won championships, you know, even though you can say Michael Jordan won, he did win more championships than Wilt Chamberlain. One of the things that Michael Jordan said, you know, and I know a lot of us here, I'm included, do not remember when Wilt Chamberlain won championship, but one of the things was Michael Jordan says, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior for allowing me a chance to win this championship. And, of course, that was his first championship, and his second, third, in 4, 5, and 6, it was a little different, but it was established that he understood where his talent came from, where God has brought him to, and he's played basketball, just like Wilt Chamberlain, almost all his life. And he knew at the spotlight, at the very time, even though it was his first time, he knew that there's only one person that could have made it possible for him. Because guess what? Michael Jordan tried many times to accomplish winning the championship. And just like a lot of athletes, when they say, you were like, why are they just thanking God when this is something they've done all their life? But it's something they've done all their life, and what they realize is that even though they've won the championship, it may never happen again. It may never happen a single time. And they realize that through all the athletes, and if you can count them through, you know, all the athletes, none of them may ever get a chance to do it. And he figured, this is the perfect time for me to thank God, because no matter all the skills I possess, no matter all I've overcome and you know, all I've accomplished, without God, this was not possible. And we had to realize, without God, nothing is possible. And it's the same thing, and like I said, when we achieve something at our pinnacle, we may never know if we rise higher or if we will get to that point again. And that is why it's so perfect that these athletes, even I see it in NASCAR, and they say, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, it is something for us not to look down on. You know, and let's, you know, go to another basketball player like Shaq. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, when he was with the Los Angeles Lakers, Shaquille O'Neal doesn't have the very suave of speech. But that was one of the things, the first things he said when he won the championship. And you had to ask yourself, if these guys, this is what they get paid for, and this is what they do, and they reach the pinnacle of their career, why do they have this attitude? Because this attitude is what they know in their heart. That they stuck with it, and this is out of everyone else. God has chosen them. God has allowed them. If everyone would think that, you know, our pastors, our ministers, or our reverends are the only ones that have a direct, you know, pipeline to God, and that no matter what they do, you know, I know that there's a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers, a lot of reverends that's out there right now that you know, they have everyday ordinary jobs. Being though they have everyday ordinary jobs, and, you know, a lot of people think this, that they have a direct pipeline to God, but they're just like us. You know, they're actually, you know, here to actually help us with further additional guidance. It doesn't mean that no matter if, you know, Pastor, you know, so-and-so works at Popeye's Chicken, that he's going to be the best, you know, chicken maker, and he's going to always, each and every time, win Employee of the Month because he's Pastor, you know, so-and-so. You know, that doesn't, you know, push them to the head of the line, especially when they still have, you know, have to provide a livelihood for themselves and their family. It doesn't mean that what they're doing. So basically what I'm saying is anyone, no matter what you're doing, you know, you can be in a theological school. You could be a student. The same thing applies, is how you apply yourself and how you look at yourself and how you see yourself at the pinnacle. And, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, there were times I was at my pinnacle and I wasn't even thinking anywhere near the way some of these athletes were thinking. You know, I was actually, you know, instead of even thinking about, you know, how I actually did accomplish this, I was actually patting myself on the back and saying, wow, I've done it again. Excuse me. And, you know, what does God do? God has, you know, placed me once again in another position where I'm actually, you know, receiving accolades, and, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, wow, I've done it again. And I can't believe how many times I've done it. And I know God is probably sitting there looking at, just like, this brother Rob, man, you know what? I'll just give him another accolade so he can finally just figure out that I'm just helping him along the way. I'm actually there with him. And that he can share something with me, but he's just constantly patting himself on the back, you know. And until I finally realized, through, you know, all the accomplishments that I've done, and, you know, through time, you know, one of the things is that time, you know, it's pretty much a good reflection on yourself. And I realized that as I was looking back, and I started saying, wow, you know, as especially when you do one thing. And then you may go back and try to accomplish it again, and you realize how hard it was the first time, especially when you're not successful the second time, as far as, you know, what you're doing or what you're trying to achieve. And you realize it's like, wow, God was really with me. God really helped me. You know, I don't know how I've done it the first time. You know, wow, God really stepped in and helped me. And then that's when you get that eureka moment, and then God, and you realize, like, oh, wow. I was like, why am I'm so thoughtless. And you remember God, you know. Like I said, I would like to be telling you a different graceful story about how, you know, I allow, you know, the accomplishment of God in my life, where I've incorporated perfectly, and, you know, I can just say, you know, I celebrated, you know, my accomplishment, you know, with him, as I went on. But it was the opposite, as my accomplishments started getting center and far in between, was when I started actually questioning, like, wow, how did I actually make this happen or that happen? And that's everyday life. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think that we had that eureka moment. We think we had that great inventorship moment, whereas though we think that we've done it on our own. Everyone wants to be, you know, that self-made, self-done it, did it on my own, had no help, you know, all by myself. But, you know, God was there, you know. Can't forget about, you know, the rainy nights or the hard nights or times we think we couldn't do it. It wasn't going to get done. It'll never get done. I don't think anybody else could do it, you know, but it got done. And at this time, we're going to go do the call of salvation. And I'm going to briefly do the announcements, and then I'm going to rejoin you with tonight's topic. And if anyone wants to introduce themselves to Christ, you know, this is the perfect time to do it. You know, at this time, you know, right at the time or right before the time or any time after, when you, you know, you achieve a accomplishment, when you achieve some kind of measure of glory, don't forget, you know, God has always placed us in a position to be successful. God always wants us to be successful. He doesn't want us to be a bum. He doesn't want us to sit around and not do anything or wallow in misery. God wants us to let, you know, he wants to let us know that, hey, he has stepped in. He has stepped in from the very beginning. He stepped in when we were in the womb before we even took breath. They let us know that he gave the life of his only begotten son just to die for our sins. And, you know, one thing we have to know, that we have to accept his gift. You know, if we don't accept his gift, then, you know, we are just ungrateful. We're part of the few that just doesn't care what he's done. But if you care what he's done, you just want to let him know that you accepted his gift and that you just like what he has done. You just really are overjoyed that he has placed that, you know, he has placed that much thought in you that he's given up his only begotten son. And, you know, so what you want to do is just, you know, you want to make and let him know that you acknowledge his sin. I mean, you want to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you accept him. You accept his sacrifice he's done and just let him know that from now on into, you know, to the end of, to the end of your time, that you place, you know, yourself, your heart in him and you believe for, you know, forever and that you know that, you know, through his son sacrifice that, you know, you want to come and become closer to him. And once you've done that and said it, you know, in your own words or the way you can, you know, the best way you can through your heart, you know, you have established that relationship. You turn over a new leaf and you're, you know, you're a new being. And please feel free to just let someone know, you know, by admittance to the tongue is, you know, the best way, you know. And you can tell, you know, call your mom, call a friend, husband, wife, best friend, any of your children, and just let them know. And, you know, if, you know, for some reason that you have no one to express that, you know, that's why we're here almost every night. You know, we broadcast almost every night that we're able to broadcast, and we have a variety of different ministries, and we hope that you're able to, you know, listen to us and express yourself as, you know, as you know, until you can, so you can find that Bible-believing teaching, preaching sanctuary that I nurture you in the word of Christ. You know, we bless you so much for, you know, if you've turned your life over to Christ tonight. And don't forget to tell someone. And if you want to contact us, you can contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello. You can send a prayer request or you can say hi or just let us know that you turned a new leaf over in life and you accepted Christ in your life. And we thank you so much for doing so. Also with Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And if you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can listen at the show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you for doing that no matter where you are in the world, whether you're calling online or via phone. We thank you so much for doing so. And with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow night for our couples ministry, which is The Turning Point. And that is hosted by Elder Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen Lee. And we hope you are able to join us. And that show will start at the 8 p.m. hour. And once again, at the 8 p.m. hour, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you tune in for The Turning Point, and that's going to be hosted by Elder Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen Lee. And we thank you so much for your support. We thank you for your listenership. And with that being said, we're going to just resume our program. And getting back to our program, and our title tonight is Going Against the Grain. And basically, going against the grain is not what you expect. It's like doing the opposite of what everybody is not doing, but it's doing what is not expected of you, and that is being selfish and self-centered. You know, a lot of athletes are selfish and self-centered, but the ones that are truly centered and spiritual based and guided, you know, we look at them as if this was something that was expected of them. But a lot of things that we do and that we look at, we look at and we do, and we say, well, if anybody looks at us and we question, like, hey, I've accomplished this and I accomplished that, and it seems like each and every time we say that we've done this and done that, it seems like someone is turning around and saying, hey, what do you want, a cookie? You already got paid for doing what you do on your job. But, yes, it is a double standard, and, yes, you know, we are expected to get up every day. We're expected to go to work. We're expected to provide for our families. But also in the same sense, just because we're already doing that, you know, we can always spread joy, knowledge, and love. We can, let our coworkers know, you know, we can go above and beyond that. Hey, I am here, but I am also spiritually based. And, hey, if you want to join in and feel the joy I'm feeling, this is how you can do it. You know, we don't have to always be robotic in our jobs and where we're employed at. You know, God has mandated to us that we have to be, you know, have that fellowship, you know, where, you know, just because we go to church every Sunday don't mean that we can't start church somewhere where we're at. You know, we don't always have to, you know, say, you know, I'm going to church on Sunday and I'm going to X location. And, you know, maybe after the third or fifth Sunday, you know, I'm going to Y location. You know, when you come and, you know, celebrate your fellowship with, you know, whatever place that you worship at on that Monday, that's the best opportunity. That's the best time when you can go ahead and you can exercise, you know, you coming from the minor leagues, or you thinking you're ready for the major leagues, you can go ahead and you can make, you know, that place that where you go to, you can make that, you know, you can make that a church if you choose to do so. And I'll say you can choose that to make a church. You know, you can do that at any time. You know, there's a lot of times at work where you can just, you know, whether, you know, there's a gathering, if there's two or more, all you have to do is say, hey, let's, you know, it's lunchtime. Can we do a prayer for lunch? It can be simple things. And like I said, it's all about you just stepping up, you know, from, you know, being in, like I said, if you look at, you know, yourself as a, you know, ordinary person, you know, you should know that, you know, at some point you're in a farm system, whereas though you're getting groomed. And so when you're out there in the world, you know, basically, you know, this is your chance to make it into the major leagues. Whereas, do you want to be ordinary? You want to be someone that just, you know, that just goes to church and just sits there? Or do you want to be somebody that's saying, hey, this is my chance. This is where I want to take my big swing and be impactful and be one of the parts of being, you know, spreading the joy and spreading fellowship. You know, everybody doesn't have to go to your church to be a member of your church. You know, you can let them know whatever sermon that was going on or whether it was the main message and the way you interpreted, you know, and you want to pass on to your coworkers, you can do that. You know, we don't have to be confined into a church to have church or to spread, you know, the meaning or understanding, you know, of what you got out of that particular sermon. And whether it was your pastor, it could be a deacon, it's just the overall body of the work that was done on that sermon or that day that was presented to you on that Sunday. You know, we don't have to stay in different confinements. And that's how a lot of athletes rise above, and then they're overlooked, and or they're, you know, they're ridiculed of their beliefs. You know, if you really ask athletes what their beliefs are, and there are some that is like really out there, especially today, that they believe the world is flat, but they believe in God. And you would say, well, how is that possible? Well, maybe you just really need to listen to what they're saying. You know, and if you listen to what they're saying, then, you know, like I said, there's some people that say, hey, these guys are just ridiculous. And then there's some people out there just starting to believe in that the world is flat. And, you know, that's the type of thing where we have to say, you know, listen, these are, you know, the modern-day athletes. And, you know, if you say, well, were these modern-day athletes paying attention to the athletes of the past? You know, or are they just the ones that are just, you know, not there to, you know, pass on the fellowship and the joy of what they accomplished, but they're just actually sitting there regurgitating what they think as far as some of the garbage and some of the non-constructive knowledge that they have gained. And we have to all, you know, understand that, you know, as we start going on, you know, we need to know that, you know, when it comes to life imitating art, that it is, you know, truly strange. And that there's some things that we can adapt and incorporate, even though we can say, hey, this is something for me to watch and get away from. But guess what? You know, God is everywhere, and there's no getting away from God. So whether you're watching sports or a soap opera, there's going to be constant reminders and hints dropped in. And even through commercials, no matter what you do, you know, God's going to always be there, and he's going to be always there to make sure he sparks and ignite your interest. And, you know, before I end the show, I just want to pray for Reverend Arthur Burgess. Last night's show, he wasn't able to, and we're just going to pray for his family, and just hope that his family member, you know, comes through for the quick recovery. We know that, you know, children, they're very resilient and they heal very fast. But, you know, we just want to make sure we send a blessing along the way to Reverend Arthur Burgess III and his family. And we thank you, and, you know, we very much appreciate you when you come on and broadcast. And, you know, right now this is time for prayer for Arthur Burgess and his family. And we just hope his daughter has a speedy recovery. And let me just let everyone know that, you know, with God Almighty, you know, he knows what he has given you, you know, to rise above all and overcome the many challenges you face. But above all else, God has made sure among anything else that you will have the victory, no matter if you win, lose, or draw. And that is just the nature of sports. Whether you win, lose, or draw, you know, God is going to make sure that, you know, you're going to have a greater understanding or a greater outcome in yourself, whether, you know, it's going to be built in leadership building as far as facing adversity of winning or losing. Or sometimes there's the agonizing, you know, draw where, you know, no one wins or no one loses, is a tie. And where you're going to always constantly be agonizing over, could I have done anything different, or could I have done anything better? And, you know, we're no better in life, where we seem to find that we have that draw, that standstill where we never either won or lost, but we just want to know, what could we have done different? But don't forget, prayer changes everything. And if there's that notion ever in your heart that you think that you could have prayed and made anything better, well, guess what? You just got to go back out there and do it. Just make sure you add a prayer in there. And with that being said, you know, the man upstairs wants us to be a winner. So make sure we're going to be a winner and make sure we pray our way into it. And with that being said, God blessings. And I will rejoin you with Self-Expression Sports Edition the second Friday of next month. Hope you enjoyed the show, you and your family. With that being said, God bless everyone. Have a great night.
Jesus led. raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.